That give God a shout. Oh, that was weak. Come on, can we do it? Give God a shout if you believe that. Okay, that first one may have been true. Amen. Some of us may not believe it. That's okay. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, 15, 17. I'm going to read from the King James, and then we're going to read from the Message version if my wonderful IT guys have pulled that up. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Amen. Do we have the message? You have the next one? It says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust," oh, that's verse 17, "and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." That's verse 17. What's the next one? Here's a message. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting our own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. Amen. It just so isolates you from him. The world and all it wants, it's wanting, is on the way out. It's verse 17. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Amen. The word of the Lord, it is blessed. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're going to continue. And this is it. You know what? The third time that a series has moved into volumes. Third time in my preaching and pastoring. And so we got one more message in this series for volume one. And we're going to wait till February or March, unless the Lord says different, to come with volume two. This is a message it's been blessing me. I hope it's been blessing you guys. We got to blow that stuff out. We're going to continue with that one. Yeah. I got a couple of props we're going to work with. Yeah. It's a young dude right there. Look at that. I'm going to go ahead and set it up so we get started. Let's put it over here. Need five. Thank you. I want to begin with those first two verses, 1 John chapter 2, 15 and 16. I want to break those down. We went over them on Sunday, but God just would not release me to go any further because I don't want us to have a misunderstanding of what that means. When he says, love not the world. Now that word love here, it has several meanings. This word here, when he talks about love, he's talking about the Greek word is agapeo. And it literally means to welcome, to entertain, to embrace, to be contented with. So when John's writing, he says, love not. He says, don't welcome, don't entertain, don't embrace, don't be contented and comfortable with the world. Love not the world. The word world in this context, it means cosmos. The Greek word is cosmos. And it literally is the ordered arrangement. It's the ornament or the decoration. He says, John's saying, love not. He says, don't embrace, don't welcome, don't entertain, or don't be contented and comfortable with the cosmos, the ordered arrangement, the decoration. And what the word that jumps out is props. Say props. Props, like in theatrical terms, props are the things that look like but aren't real. If you look, if you look at shows, you look at scenes, you think they're on location. No, they're just on a movie set. It looks like a building, but it's just the facade. It's just the front. It's a prop. It's a two-dimensional shape view. But if you went behind it, there'd be nothing there. It looks like it. It convinces you that it is, but it's not. And John is saying, don't embrace, don't entertain. He says, don't become comfortable or content with the props, the things that look like the real but aren't the real. Because you got to understand, the devil is he's a trickster. He wants to fool us. And John is writing to this church. He's saying, don't get fooled by stuff that's not real. And if we're not even now today, they're coming up. They're nervous about this election season because people have figured out a way to create videos and put you in places you weren't even there. They're creating videos that make you say stuff you never say it. And they're saying it is so real, it's dangerous. But the devil's been working that technology for eons. He's been working the technology to make you think that something is when it really isn't. And John is letting this church know. He says, don't entertain, don't welcome, don't embrace, don't be content or comfortable with something that is not what it really is. And the only way you can confirm or make sure that what looks like is not is when you've had an opportunity to handle the real. And John was able to talk to these people because he had presented before them the real. But there are factions that were bringing before them the false, the fictitious, the phony, the props. He says, love not the world. And he says, neither the things that are in the world. Now, I thought that word in was just a simple conjunction, but it's not. It's not. I looked it up. It says, neither the things that are in the thing, what that literally means, the things that are dependent of or resting on the system, the ordered arrangement. Neither, he said, don't love the world, and neither love the things that are dependent on the system. What does it look like, Pastor? There's a system. We are a part of systems. All around us, there's systems in place. Systems in place. I'm a man of systems because systems will give you what they're designed to do. Systems will give you what they're. You got a system at home. Yeah. You got a system. Whether your system, your cleaning system, whether you put your clothes in the basket or you just throw them on the floor, that's a system. That's a system. How long they stay there, who finally washes them, that's a system. And your system is designed to give you exactly what they were made for. And we have systems. Our economic system, it's a system. You don't get paid until you work. That's the system. That's the system. The devil would love for kingdom believers and kingdom citizens to get locked into that system and no longer recognize that it's not the job that's my source, but it's God who's my source. Systems. If he can get you to believe the ornamented, decorated props. It's not your job that's sustaining you. It's God that's sustaining you. But if we think it's our job, then we will compromise our relationship with God for the job. And listen, I'm not telling you to go quit your job. Pastor said, I need to quit my job and believe in and trust God. Now, I'm not telling you that. Don't go out there and do that. Because I don't have no room for you in my house. What I am saying, as you go to the job, as you do what you've been, what you were contracted to do, understand, I'm not here. I'm not here because of the job. I'm here because of the assignment. Thank you for that one hand clap. I appreciate that. The assignment that God has on my life has now opened a door for opportunity for me to do this thing that I'm doing. And by the way, they pay me. But it's God who's my source. Because what? Guess what? If the job dries up, and sometimes they do, who keeps you when there's nothing coming in on the 15th and the 30th? Systems. It's systems. He says, neither the things that are dependent on, that are resting on this system. He's letting them know. He said, listen, you guys got to not fall in love with these things. Now, he says, this fine young gentleman right here is a prop. Some years ago wrote a book. It's a prop. Prop. Much thinner. Wow. It's a prop. It's standing, but it's not real strong. Enough pressure will knock this prop down. And he says, neither the things that are in, that rest on or are dependent on the prop. What's it look like? The very few things that we'll be able to rest on or depend on this prop. Can't put a lot of weight on this prop. And there are haters who will say stuff about you. And if you're dependent on the prop, what they say will stick. If you're dependent on this prop, this ordered arrangement, this rendition of real, but it's not, then whatever they say about you will stick. We've got a social media prop. And you got haters who are cowardly hiding behind keyboards, who are saying things about you, and if you believe the prop, what they say will stick. Because if we become dependent on likes and shares and followers, then all it takes is one negative thing. And it sticks. Let's go beyond social media. If you're in a place where you have a hold up appearances and keep up appearances, and you gotta look the part all the time, all it takes is some hater to say something that goes against what you're trying to portray. And if you believe your own press, then what they say will stick. But you got to understand that you're more than the image that this system wants to make you into. You are more than the props. See, we're just saying, look the part. This system says, I don't care how well you are as long as you look well. So I don't care how things go, as long as you can take supplements. It's not real. But it's supplements to get you through. Oh, my God. So I won't deal with the real issues in my life. I'll just take supplements to get me through.
Because if I really dealt with it along the lines of how the prop is built, we have a lovely family. We look wonderful, don't we? If I keep pushing that prop agenda, if I keep pushing that propaganda, then the moment there's a crack in, the moment there's some negativity against it, the moment there's some resistance to it, if I base my life and my substance on that prop, too much weight will knock it down. And we got a lot of people falling down and crumbling under the pressure of life because they're connected to something that is not real. You're connected to something that wasn't built to take the pressure that is going to come. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. If you just are content with looking righteous, then being righteous, when those afflictions come, they will knock you down like the prop you are.
Teach your own pastor.
This only works. It only works when we welcome, entertain, embrace, or be content and comfortable with the decorative props strategically placed around us. It only works when you believe the lie. Hallelujah. 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 Look at somebody say, don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. He goes on to say, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now there are two loves here in that verse, and there are two different meanings for that word love. The first love is that agapeo. If first love means if you're embracing it, if you are welcoming it, and then that second love is agape. That means love that seeks your highest good. It's love that wants the best for you. And so when directed toward each other, the second love, it seeks the highest good. It wants the best for you. It wants and ensuring the best for someone. When that agape is directed toward one another, I want you to do well. I want you to succeed. I want you to overcome. I want you to be all that you can be. I want to do my part to help you get there. When it's directed toward God, that second love, when it's directed toward God, it's based on honoring him. When it's directed toward God, it's an affection. It's a selfless dedication. It's honor. It's commitment, and it's loyalty. Agape. When it's he says, if any man love the world, the love agape of the Father is not in him. Love for the world squeezes the love of the Father out of us. The love of the world, it literally squeezes the love of the Father out of us. The love of the world. Trisha, come here, please. Jerry, come here, please. Mrs. Jackson, come here, please. Sorry, Miss Jackson. I am for real.
Oh, look at this. Oh, my God.
Jessica, can I get you to please come here, please? You got it? All right. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. Here's what I need you to do. I need you open these. I need you to try to squeeze. I need you to squeeze all of that into those plates. Yes. Get all of it. Here's what happens when we embrace, when we welcome. The ornamented decoration of the world. it squeezes the love of the Father out of us. Y'all got it? Y'all did a good job. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. They squeeze all of the stuff out of them. When we divert love that should be going to God, when we give it to the world, all of it comes out and there's nothing left but a shell. Nothing left but a shell. When I become content and comfortable with the ornamented decorations of the things around me. Success is only success if I make a certain amount of money. I can't consider myself have made it until I'm driving a certain car. If I don't have certain people in my phone, then I'm not where I need to be. That's the ornamented decorations. And it leaves me with nothing but a shell. Good for nothing. You can't do nothing with it. But throw it away. Meanwhile, what that does, what it squeezes out of us, it says it squeezes the love of God out of us. And what does that love do? What that love does, it cleanses. It's what toothpaste does. It makes you agreeable. You ever had somebody whose breath was humming? They start getting all breathy. They start saying breathy. We're like, hallelujah. Hello. It makes you agreeable. The love of God makes you agreeable. The love of God cleanses you. But when we give that love that should go to God to somewhere else, we become void of it. We become void of it. And that's exactly what John was writing to that church about, saying, don't love the world. Don't love the props. Don't love the ornaments, because what all it's going to do is squeeze the very life out of you. And what should be going to God is now wasted. Because the world don't know how to do with this. And this is what we got. We got a lot of people walking around looking the part, but empty. That's why it don't take but a little bit it don't take but a little bit of pressure, because there's no substance, because we've given it to the world. But God is saying, He said, I need you. I need you to be firm. I need you to be strong. Be strong and courageous. Sometimes, in order to keep what I put in you, you got to have a cap. Thank you. Y'all have a seat. Some of y'all have been pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, but God said, I need you to have a cap. You need to know what does a cap do? This cap lets you know when to do it and when not to do it. I don't care how much you squeeze this, because I got my cap on, I'm not losing nothing that God has given me. What does the cap look like? The cap looks like getting into His Word. The cap looks like praying to the Father. The cap looks like listening to the Holy Spirit. The cap looks like being able to resist the devil and he will flee. Look at somebody, say, I'm about to cap somebody today. I'm about to cap somebody. Hey! You flying off at the mouth. You need to get capped today, because that's the only way you can come out looking like what God wants you to be. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, this. I'm way past my time. Verse 16. Y'all get some out of this? It says, for all that is in the world, in,
dependent. All that is dependent on and resting in the prop, the world, the prop, the make-believe, the look-alike. For all that is resting upon, everything that rests upon the props, he tells you right now, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Those three are dependent on you losing it. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eye are dependent on you believing the prop. They don't work unless you believe the prop. They don't work unless you believe the prop. Hallelujah. Now, the word lust, it literally means desire. It literally means desire, craving, longing for. So the lust of the flesh, the desire of the flesh, the craving of the flesh, the longing of the eye, it literally means desire. Somebody shout desire. This scripture, I got two scriptures, and then I'm going to load up my little red wagon and get out of your way. James 1. Y'all getting some out of this? Amen. James 1. I needed to teach y'all, teach this text, because if we run over it, we'll miss the revelation in it. James 1, verse 13, 14. When you got to say, oh yeah. So it says this, James 1, 13, 14. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own what? His own desires and enticed. Whose is it? His own. It's ours. It's ours. I like what the Message version says. Show me what the Message version. It says, don't let anyone under pressure to give in to evil say, God is trying to trip me up. God is impervious to evil and puts evil in no one's way. The temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. Whose lust? It's our own lust. Not our neighbor's lust, not my mama's lust, not my daddy's lust. It's my own lust, not my friend's lust. It's my own lust. Lust is the product of desire. Lust is the blinding drive and push for the immediate satisfaction of a carnal desire, and no one owns that lust but us. Somebody shout desire. Let's define desire. Desire is defined as ungoverned, unregulated feelings and emotions. Ungoverned, unregulated feelings and emotions. They are feelings and emotions we have not put boundaries on. Unbridled, unregulated, ungoverned feelings and emotions. And every man, according to the text, every man, every woman is tempted when the devil finds our ungoverned, unregulated feelings and emotions. And when the devil finds those unregulated, ungoverned feelings and emotions, the Bible says he draws us away. Drawn away. I'm kind of a techie. I like tech gadgets. I really have a desire in videography and photography, and I want a drone. I know it's way out there, but if I could have anything, give me a drone. Now, I don't live in a neighborhood where I can get a drone. You can drive. You know, I don't even know. I might get in trouble. I really don't need one. I'll probably get in trouble with a drone, but I want one. And they got these drones where they can go a quarter of a mile away. You can download the app on your phone. You can download the app on your phone, and you can control that drone over a quarter of a mile away. You can spin it. You can turn it. You can flip it. And you can record live in 4K with a drone over a quarter of a mile away. I want me a drone. They got to where, at one point early on, people were losing their drones because they would lose the signal. But now they've upped the amp or the coverage, and you got one button. You press one button, and it comes right back to you. I want a drone. I don't need one, but I want one. All this stuff because you downloaded the app on your phone. You put your phone in the little case, and it has an antenna, and you can control the drone. How is that possible? The app is possible because the app that we downloaded to the phone has proprietary software connected to proprietary hardware in the drone. And as long as you stay within that quarter of a mile distance, you can control that proprietary hardware with the proprietary software in the app. Now, when the devil discovers our ungoverned, unregulated desire, he taps into it and tries to control us, just like we control the drone. He don't have to be near us. But if he has the software, he can tap in to what's in us. And he don't make us do it. He doesn't make us. He just taps in to what he's connected to. So you're wondering why you're doing stuff. Why you have desires for that? Because he's tapped into the ungoverned, unregulated, boundaryless desires. He knows what you like, even though you know you don't want it, you shouldn't do it, you don't need it. But when he finds out that unregulated, ungoverned desire, he taps into it. And he sets up, I'm getting ahead of myself, he sets up opportunity for you to give into it. He don't make you do it, but he make it real hard for you not to. And so he's back there. He's not even in the same room, but he's tapped into that ungoverned, unregulated desire. That's what he does. That's what he does. That's what sin. That's what sin allows him. That's what that desire allows him to do. And we're drawn away, the Bible says, by our own lust, and we're enticed. Now, lust and desire are not independent contractors. They do not operate on their own. Hear what I'm saying? Desire, just because you have a desire to sin does not make it sin. Desire is not an independent contract. Desire needs something else. It needs something else. What does lust or desire need to conceive? Because the next verse says, when lust or desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. Lust cannot produce sin by desire cannot produce sin by itself. It needs something else. What does it need? It needs opportunity. It needs opportunity. Y'all getting some out of this? See, sin is desire plus opportunity. It equals desire plus opportunity. And I need something from y'all this right now. I need an offering of honesty. I need an offering of honesty. Think about it. Don't raise your hand. Every time we've ever sinned, it was because we put ourselves in position. Let it marinate. Every time we've ever sinned, it's because we put ourselves in position. Let it marinate. But Pastor, I didn't go there. I didn't go there.
But you stayed.
I was just riding. I was just in the car, riding. I didn't go there. I didn't want to go to the party.
But you stayed.
Well, I couldn't go nowhere. You didn't have to stay, be in there.
Got real quiet in here. Got real quiet in here.
Pastor, he called me. I didn't call him,
but you held a conversation.
Every sin we've ever committed is because we put ourselves in position. You give the devil too much power. Quit being Flip Wilson. The devil didn't make you do it. Every sin that we've ever committed is because we put ourselves in position. Come on, devil, hit me right here. I didn't steal it.
But you knew it was wrong.
I didn't do it. I didn't take it. But you went along with it. Every time we've sinned, it's because we put ourselves in position. And the devil, when he found that unregulated, ungoverned desire, he linked with it an opportunity to manifest. That's why the devil don't bring what you don't like. He don't bring what you don't like. Have you noticed that? Every time you find stuff that you like to do, because he's tapped into your ungoverned, unregulated desire. He knows you like yellow bone, red bone, thick sisters. He knows you like bald head, tall, chocolate, black brothers. He know you like them Tyrese looking brothers. Has it not clicked? Why does it? Because he knows what you desire. And he puts opportunity there so that lust, when it is conceived, it had to come together with something. It had to come together, and it comes together with opportunity. Ungoverned, unregulated lust and desire are waiting on an opportunity.
And an opportunity is always people, places, things. People, places, things. That's opportunity. People, places, things.
You take that out. It's in my head. It's right here. But you give me an opportunity, you're probably going to hear about it.
Religion says, cut off the opportunity. That's what old religion was. That's why you couldn't go nowhere, couldn't do nothing. Had to wear long dresses and couldn't listen to music and couldn't go to movies and couldn't, because religion said, cut off the opportunity. Just cut it. You need to cut it. Just cut off the opportunity. Just cut off. Just live. Just live in solitude. Live in isolation. Just be there by yourself. Just suck on Tic Tacs and breath mints. Don't do nothing. But that's bondage. That's bondage. Religion says cut off the opportunity, but a kingdom relationship says let's deal with the ungoverned, unregulated desire.
I didn't get free until I got honest.
My girlfriend at that point, who's now my wife, my smoking hot wife, I had to get honest. Every time I'm alone with you, I'm going to do things. I had to get honest. I don't care how much we prayed. Can I tell y'all? Can y'all handle it? Every time we got together, and here's what the devil said. Y'all going to get married anyway. she practically your wife anyway. Can I be honest? And I was like, well, the Lord gave you to me anyway. So I don't see why I can't partake and lay hands on what he gave me. It makes sense. Look at what the Lord gave me. Blessings on blessings on blessings. Look at that. It just makes sense. But that can't go against his word. I didn't get free until I got honest. And I kept saying, okay, we just gonna kiss. That's all we gonna do. That's all we gonna do. That's all we gonna do. We just gonna kiss, and that's all. That's all. Okay, now, okay. Now we just gonna hold each other. That's all. We gonna kiss and hold each other. That's all we gonna. That's all. That's all. Okay. Now it's hot. So it just makes sense just to take off clothes because it's hot. So all we gonna do is kiss and hold and get cool. And you say, until somebody say no, we should quit. But how many know? When you get at a heat gravity, Jesus. And what I didn't get free until I was honest, until I understood. I said, listen, I can't do this. And don't you know, that don't make you weak. It make you strong. It make you strong. And so what do we do? My best friend Avery, my best friend Charles, whenever she was coming over, Charles and Avery had to be there. Charles and Avery. We watching the movie. Charles and Avery, what you doing? Come on over. Charles and Avery. We playing Uno. Charles and Avery, what you doing? Come on over. Raffin, I don't know how to play Uno. I'll teach you how to play Uno. I didn't get free until I got honest with myself. Didn't get free until I got honest with myself, because that was an area that was ungoverned and unregulated. And I could not give opportunity and chance. You won't get free until you get honest with it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. You won't get free until you get honest with it. Hallelujah. David did wrong. But he repented quickly before it got any bigger or got any stronger. That's why the Bible says he was a man after God's heart. It wasn't because he did everything right, because we know he didn't do everything right. But he was literally after God's heart. He was literally chasing after God. But he messed up. But when he knew he messed up, he turned back around and started chasing after God. That's why he said he's a man after my heart. Because even when he falls, he has a sense to look back to where I am and come back to me. In all of his wrong, what honored David in the end was that he would admit when he messed up. This and I'm done. I promise. Romans 13:14. Y'all getting something out of this. Romans 13:14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Don't give desire an opportunity. If you struggle with alcoholism, you don't need to take a job bartending. That's just common sense. Fornicators don't need to flirt. That's just who I am. No, stop it. Gossips, you need to stop drinking all that hot tea. Quit sipping all that tea. Auntie, I need my Academy Award music, please. Starve the desire. Here's what I do. Starve the desire. Starve it. Starve it. Starve the desire. It's unregulated. It's ungoverned. It has no boundary. Starve it. Lust and desire are fed and strengthened by the opportunity. I told you, religion said just cut it off. Relationship says let's deal with the unbridled, ungoverned, unregulated part. But you got to grow to that place. You have to grow to that place. Religion, the road religion takes should be the jump off place. Okay? If you know you got a problem with stealing, then you need to be away from stuff that you can take. And you need to have accountability people around you. That's the starting place. If you are a child of God, what should happen is that should be a maturing to where you say, Lord, I love God too much to keep breaking his heart like this. I love him too much to keep breaking his heart like this. That's when you start dealing with the desire. But wherever if you're at the entry place, here, separate yourself from the stuff that tempts you. Quit playing with it. Be honest with yourself. Quit playing with it. Be honest. And as you mature in God, let him deal with the desire. I didn't get free until I was honest. I've told y'all this. As a young man, I understand. One of my favorite scriptures was, how shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the word of God. And I remember praying this prayer one time. I said, God, just take the desire. Just take it away. I said, wait a minute, wait. If you take the desire, what's left? God, regulate this desire. But I'm not trying to wrap this up, but I need you to understand there are some desires God gave you. And you still got to give them back to him. We know you're mature when you start dealing with the desire. If you now have to separate yourself from the opportunity, we thank God for the recognition, but our prayer is that you move to the place to where help me to deal with the desire. You've heard me tell this story. And please, before you write or text or email or whatever, I don't condone animal cruelty. That was a story about a man who lived in the mountains. I need everybody standing. We're done. A man who lived in the mountains, and he would come down every 6 months to get supplies. And when he came down, he had a black dog and a brown dog. And he would set up fights with that brown dog and that black dog. And people in the town would bet on who would win. And the man seemed to always bet on the winning dog. And one day somebody came and asked him, he said, how do you know every time which dog's going to win? And the man said, the one I feed the most. Whatever you feed is going to be strong enough to fight you.
whatever is fighting you as a believer is the very thing that you're feeding. And you cannot get victory over it if you're keeping it healthy. I don't know why I keep having. I don't know why I keep finding myself over his house. I know he don't mean me no good. Quit answering them calls at 3:00 in the morning. Watch Nick at Night. Watch reruns. Do something. Quit going over there. Whatever you feed the most is going to win. Conversely, when you start feeding your spirit, when the temptation comes, when the desire tries to manifest, if you've been feeding on the word of God. I remember when we were in college, and that was where Avery and Charles would come help us. And she got to the place where she was kicking me out. I thank God that she did. But I ain't gonna lie to you, I walked across campus mad. Can I be honest? And I even said to myself, well, if you won't, I'll find somebody who will. Don't look at me in that tone of low voice. That was old man. But I had, listen to this, as I kept growing, as I'm walking away, angry and frustrated, little stuff like this will come up. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. James 1:12. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Things will come up like psalms will come up like how should a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. I was still mad, Jerry. But I was eating this. I was eating more of this. And she was starving me. Can y'all handle truth like that? The one that you feed is the one that will win. You can't snack on this and expect to knock the devil out. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's some of you right now, you're struggling with some areas and you're wondering, how did I get here? What's going on? Where did this happen? Ungoverned, unregulated desire. And the enemy has found that frequency. He's tapping in. But you can break up and disrupt that connection right now. You can break up and disrupt that connection right now. It happens when you connect with God. When you connect with Christ. Does anybody here who's not saved, today's a good day to give your heart to God. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, how long you've been there, who you've been doing it with. God says, I love you with an everlasting love, a love that looks past all your faults, all your failings, all your mistakes. And he looks not at who you are right now, but who you shall become.